Welcome to Bible Education Institute. My name is Reverend Henry Kelly. Today we will be continuing in the book of Romans in the New Testament, and we will be in chapter 11. And the title in this section at the beginning is The Remnant of Israel. And we will be reading in the NIV, the New International Version. Before we get started, I always like to read you why we can depend on the Bible. And I got this information from Dr. Vodi Bakum, which you can find on YouTube. He's a great preacher and teacher of the Bible, and very interesting. And so I found this on one of his YouTube teachings, which I thought was fantastic. And so let's begin. The Bible, a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses, 40 authors, 66 volumes of books, span of 1,500 years, in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, written in three languages, mainly Hebrew and Greek, a little in Aramaic, hundreds of subjects and topics. And that's why we can trust and believe the Bible. Okay, let us begin in Romans chapter 11, starting at verse 1. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. Verse 3. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. Verse 4. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Verse 5. Okay, now Baal was a false god that the people during that time had developed. And so they call him Baal. It was just another fake god or whatever, and they just gave that name to him. Okay, let's continue. Verse 5. So two at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. Verse 6. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. Verse 7. What then? What the people of Israel sought to earnestly, they did not obtain. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see, and ears that could not hear to this very day. Verse 9, and David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Verse 10, may their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs be bent forever. Okay, the next section is called Engrafted Branches, starting at verse 11 to verse 24. Again, I asked, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. Verse 12. But if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentile, how much greater riches were there? Full inclusion B. Okay, this is Paul speaking in this. I'm in the book of Romans here. And just to let you know, and let's continue. Verse 13, I am talking to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry. Verse 14, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. Verse 15, for if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Verse 16, if the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. Verse 17, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild wild olive shoot have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. Verse 18, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Verse 20, granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. Verse 21, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Verse 22, consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Verse 23, and if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Verse 24, after all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Huh, very interesting. Okay, let's continue. The next section is called All Israel Will Be Saved, verse 25. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part unto the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Verse 28. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. Verse 29, for God's gift and his call are irrevocable. Verse 30, just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience. Verse 31, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. Verse 32, for God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Okay, the next section is called a doxology. So the next section is doxology. The word doxology means a liturgical formula of praise to God, and liturgical means public worship. So we just learned a couple of new words there. Let's continue. Oh, verse 33, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Verse 34, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Verse 35, who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him all are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Before we continue, I do want to give you, I forgot to give this to you at the beginning, but a couple of some tools that you can use, a couple of books and an online tool that will help. And this is a Matthew Henry commentary, and it's free, and you can find it at www.biblestudytools.com. And then once you're on that website, you go to menu, go to study tools, go to commentaries, down to Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible, and then you can use that, because I use it a lot myself. Also, a couple of books that's good to have, which is, you can also either use the online thing, and or both, you can get the book of Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary on the Whole Bible, or Matthew Henry's Complete Commentary on the Whole Bible. The Concise is just a shorter version, but you can get, you know, the other one too. And also, to help you in your studies, it's Flavius Josephus, who is a military and Jewish historian during the early church, and that will help you to understand what was going on during that time. And also, another thing that helps is getting a Hebrew and Greek dictionary will help you a lot also, to, you know, for some of the words in there, and help you to understand what that is. You know, just tools you have to help you learn. Yep. Okay, so I'm just going to go over just for a very few minutes to the Matthew Henry's Concise Commentary on the whole Bible, on this one little section, just to help us to understand what exactly we're reading here. Okay, and let me give you a synopsis of it. Within this chapter 11 that we just read, it's Paul shows the mercy that is mixed with wrath. And that's verses 1 through 32. And then he infers the infinite wisdom of and sovereignty of God with adoration, verses 33 and 36. So I'm just going to, let me give you just a little bit of this. Okay, the rejection of the Jews is not universal. Verses 1 through 10, God overruled their unbelief for making the Gentiles partakers of gospel privilege, verses 11 through 21. The Gentiles, which is, remember, a Gentile is those that are not Jewish. The Gentiles caution against pride and unbelief. The Jews shall be called as a nation and brought into God's visible covenant again, verses 22 to 32. A solemn adoring of the wisdom, goodness, and justice of God, verses 33 through 36. I'm going to read you a little bit more. That's Romans chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. Here, there was a chosen remnant of believing Jews who had righteousness and life by faith in Jesus Christ. They were kept according to the election of grace. If then this election was of grace, it could not be of works, either performed or foreseen. Ever truly good disposition in a fallen creature must be the effect, and therefore cannot be the cause, of the grace of God bestowed on him. Salvation from the first to the last must be either of grace or of debt. So when it says election, it's talking about, you know, how God has chosen the ones coming to him, because he has to draw you. Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to stop there, because I'm pretty sure you got what was needed of what we just read. So next time we will be in Romans chapter 12, and the title at the beginning is A Living Sacrifice. So we finished Romans chapter 11, which is very good. Now, what I'd like to do now is just give you some scripture verses. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the NIV International Version. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, NIV International Version. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Okay, let me give you some salvation scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, King James Version. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has risen from the dead, and shall be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesseth unto salvation. Romans 10, chapter 13, King James Version. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, King James Version. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why do we need Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. God has his commandments, which we call the Ten Commandments. That's the Ten Main Commandments that he's given us. And he also has written it on our hearts supernaturally. That's why we all know you know, lying's wrong and stealing's wrong and all that, murder's wrong, because he's written it on our hearts. So, according to God's Ten Commandments, now remember, if you break one, you break them all. So let's just go over a few of them to see why we need God. The Ten Commandments shows our need for Christ, our need for a Savior, because we can't save ourselves. Okay. The Ninth Commandment, you shall not bear false witness, which means you should not lie. Everybody has lied. You can call it a white lie or lying to get out of a situation or whatever. We all have lied, and therefore we're guilty. Remember, you only have to break one of the Ten Commandments and you're guilty of all of them. Have you ever hated anyone? According to Jesus, you've already committed murder in your heart if you hate anyone, which is the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Have you ever looked at another person with lust? According to Jesus, you already committed adultery in your heart. And the seventh commandment is you shall not commit adultery. You see, God's standards are so high and ours are so low. You know, we think that we're good enough, we can work enough and all like that, but you can't. We're already condemned. It doesn't matter. And, you know, if you did something bad as a child, that still goes. It's like if you've already broken the commandments, and we all have done bad things. We all have done wrong things, some more than others, whatever. But we all have broken God's moral laws, the Ten Commandments. So if God was to judge us by these commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? You'd be guilty. Would it be heaven or hell? It would be hell. So what did God do for us sinners? He sent his only begotten Son, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, or God in the flesh, however you want to look at it. Because you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's one being in three persons, kind of like the Son. You know, you can see the Son, that would be like Christ, you can see him. You can feel the heat, that would be like the Holy Spirit. And then the whole thing all together is God. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why we believe in the Trinity. But anyways, so what did Christ do for us? Well, he went on the cross, a Roman cross, which is how they would punish those that who broke Roman law or whatever, or, you know, murdered or stole or whatever. And they would whip you first as the torture, and then they put you on this cross, and they tie your hands and feet up, and they put nails in your hands and feet and put you on there, and then you'd have to hold. The way they put you, you have to hold yourself up to be able to breathe, so it was a struggle. What would happen as time went on, you get weaker and weaker from all the blood loss of the whipping and the nails and all that, and then you would eventually just, you know, not be able to hold yourself up and you suffocate to death. It's really horrific torture that the Romans had came up with back in that day. But so that's what Christ had to do. He endured for us as be the one-time holy punishment for us. Now we only have to come by faith, believing, you know. And, but we need to come with a sorrowful, contrite heart, a humble heart like a child. And so what are we doing? So then what I suggest you do is come with a sorrowful, contrite heart. Ask God to forgive you of your sins and then transfer the trust from yourself to Christ alone and put your trust in Christ alone. Kind of like if you're in a plane, somebody gives you a parachute about to crash. The plane's about to crash, give you a parachute. You got to hold on to that parachute because it's going to save you from the jump to come. Jesus saves you from the judgment to come. That's why it's so important. And I would advise you to do this as quickly as possible. Let me give you some resources. All right, here's some good teachers with their websites. You can find them also on like Rumble. And that would be Dr. Vodi Bakum. You can find him on YouTube. And also you can put in your search engine there of Vodi Bakum Ministries and it'll pull up how you can follow him. Also, R.C. Sproul with Ligonier Ministries and all these on YouTube also. Living Waters with Ray Comfort, livingwaters.com, Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham, answersingenesis.org, Wall Builders with David Wharton, wallbuilders.com. He also, and his main thing is to teach about American history, and he also has has a radio show during the week, and you can also listen to that online. I'll just go to search engine and put in Wild Builders and with David Barton, and it will pop up, and you can listen to all that's very interesting and fascinating. Dr. Walter Barton, waltermartin.org. Also, Apologia Studios with Jeff Durbin, and you can follow him on ApologiaStudios.com and also listen to the audio on Apple. And his website is great. They were given a complete set of all the audio teachings of Dr. Greg Bahnsen, a professor of the Bible, and he died a while back, so his family donated all his audio tapes to Apologia Studios. And now when you go onto the website of Apologia Studios, you just look at it, it'll have either Bahnsen U or Greg Bahnsen, whatever, and you can click on that. And they have all his teachings and everything's been remastered. It's all there, so you can get a free seminary education. It's really fascinating. If you would like to, correspond with us, it is all lowercase, bobeducationinstitute@gmail.com. And we have it's a very simple and cheap website, which I have a link below, and also to, I think, PayPal if you want to donate. And I'll just read this out to you, especially for the audio ones. So the website is 5DLB-E11A2E5831.SITE123.me, and ME is lowercase also. And if you would like to follow us, you can follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Telegram, Getter, Twitter, Facebook, and Gab. Also, you can follow us on these podcast platforms: Listen Notes, Luminary Podcast, Player FM, Helium Radio, Helium Radio Network, Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, Overcast, Chrome, GPod, Firefox, Safari, iTunes, Audible, Alexa, Google, Podbean, Internet Explorer, Podcast Addict, and others. Again, here's some more great teachers. Doug Wilson, you can find Elise on YouTube. Doug Wilson, Gary DeMar, Pastor Joel Webbin with Right Response Ministries, Dr. James White, he's also on YouTube and with Apologia Studios, Dr. Rudy Buckham, Pastor Jeff Durbin, and these are just some of the great, great teachers that you can listen to. And here's some other good resources. I like to buy a lot of used books and stuff, so because they're usually pretty good shape and everything. And so here's some of the booksellers I deal with. Abe Books, ABEBOOKS, Thrift Books, Amazon, and Alibris, which is Alibris. And remember, read your Bible daily without fail and do what it says. Till next time.